Second Timothy, chapter 4. Second Timothy, chapter 4. I'm only using one verse. 2 Timothy 4, verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Let me ask God to help us. Father, I do pray that you would lead in our study tonight. I pray that you would take the scriptures, use them in our hearts and lives, as you know we have need of them. In Jesus' name, amen. They shall turn away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I'm going to look at four fables that people have. All right? There are certainly many more. These are not the only four fables, but they're the four that I thought of. Fable number one, God is a God of love, and he wouldn't send anyone to hell because he is a God of love. Well, people say this because they do not understand the full teaching of Scripture, and particularly that part of the Scripture that talks about God's righteousness. God is a righteous God. And if he were to allow sin into heaven, if he were to allow one person into heaven who had sin in their life, whose lives were controlled by sin, regardless of how minimal it might be, then he would not be righteous. And heaven would not be heaven. And so, yes, God is a God of love. But in addition, we understand that love by what the Bible teaches about God being a righteous God. And and also, you know, we think about the matter of this being the people's choice. God is a God of love, and he wouldn't send anyone to hell. No, there's a way in which he doesn't send people to hell. Their choice sends them to hell.
Yes, sir.
Their choice to ignore the gospel of Jesus Christ. What about those people who live in lands and have never even heard the name Jesus Christ? The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans that the creation of God bears witness to him. And it teaches us that their conscience as well bears witness to a God. Now, no one is going to get saved by looking at creation and saying somebody had to create this. But if they will look beyond what they know, and we have had so many testimonies that missionaries have made, even testimonies from people in the United States of America who just things were a mess in their life, and they prayed, God, if you are really there, show yourself to me. And guess what? He did. He revealed himself. Mission. I remember the first missionary story that I heard illustrating this was from a missionary who said that there came to the tribe he was working with a man who wanted to hear about, and he did not know it, he wanted to hear about Jesus Christ. But this was a native from a particular tribe. And he was searching. There was something not right. He found no answers from his tribal religions. So he went to the next tribe, which was in itself pretty bold. But he went to the next tribe. And he asked his questions about creation, his questions about, and of course they have their false gods, but he asked about gods and could not get answers. And then he went to yet another tribe. Now, you know, tribes, maybe the one next to you they'll get along with. But by the time you go two tribes and three tribes away, you're in warring territory. But he went, and I don't know how many in all, for sure three, but he came to the tribe where this missionary was working, and he asked his questions. And the natives to whom he asked it pointed him to the missionary, and he found what he was looking for. You say, well, that's an exception. No, that would be God's rule. And that's why he said the creation bears witness of himself. And the conscience of man, such as prompted that man to keep looking. But the one who is satisfied to keep worshiping the stick and the stone statues, okay, or the nature in which he lives, is no different than the American whom you may have given the gospel to, and they choose to continue to ignore God and live the way they are, or continue to live their godless religion, even if it does call itself Christian.
That's right.
Okay? And so God is righteous. Therefore, he can't allow sin into heaven. And the people make the choice that ends up sending them to hell. But I want to look at Matthew. Keep your place. Well, no, we may not be back to Timothy. Do what you want. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Now here's the part I want you to read. Prepared for the devil and his angels. God didn't make hell for man. He made it for the devil and his angels. But those who choose to believe the lie of the devil will end up spending their eternity with the devil. So that's a fable that people have turned from the truth. Turn from the clear statements of the faith, clear teachings of the scripture about God. They've turned to fables that they want to believe. Well, another fable is, well, be good. Do the best you can. And surely God will let you into heaven. Well, for that, I ask the question, whose standard of good? By God's standard of good, we're all doomed. But by your standard of good for you, you ought to get into heaven. But what about your neighbor's standard of good? And then you may be thinking of a neighbor, you may be thinking of how he lives, and you may be thinking, he ain't very good. Oh, so he doesn't get in. Because he doesn't live up to your standard. Now, you and I know as Bible believers, it's not by man's standard of good. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. In heaven now is a missionary named Daryl Champlin. He started out in the Congo. But he was driven out of the Congo by a governmental rioting. Now, he's dead and in heaven, and he probably was in his early 80s when he died. And so you can figure it was a while ago. He went to the Congo, he and his wife, when they were young. They ended up going to Suriname because many from the Congo were taken as slaves over to Suriname by the Dutch. Not the Americans? I thought we were the perpetrators of slavery around the world. No, it was the Dutch that took them over there and established, okay? So you have Suriname now and a lot of Congo people, so they said, we'll go there and work. Now, one time when Brother Daryl was there, oh, I go back and give you a little more of that story. Louise Champlin, Daryl's wife, her dad, his last name was Grings. And her dad and mother went over there to Africa. And somewhere along the way, I'm going to have this story mixed up, so anybody that would be listening and knows it, pardon me, okay? But they ended up in shipwreck. And they finally got rescued, and to come back home and get over the trauma would have been understandable. But we're talking about people now who didn't look at trauma like today's panty waist do, okay? And so they went back. And then the children's mother died. Oh, Mr. Green, you ought to go back to the United States. Take your children, I don't remember how many it was, 3-4 kids. You ought to take them back to the United States. You need to get help raising them. He said, no, God sent me to Africa. And he stayed there and he raised them. Okay? And his son, last I knew, was still serving in Africa. His daughter, Louise, married Daryl Champlin. And they ended up in Suriname. I always found that a fascinating part of their story, the persistence that they had. And nevertheless, Brother Daryl was down in Chattanooga at Highland Park Baptist Church. What was it called? Tennessee Temple. And they were having their big missions conference. He was one of 8 or 9 missionary leaders. Okay, directors or assistant directors, whatever, of an agency sitting on the stage. And they took questions from young people in the audience. They said, one raised their hands and said, what will you do for me if insurrection comes to the country in which I'm at? And different mission leaders stood up and said, we have evacuation plans. We have evacuation insurance. We would do all we can to take care of and protect you. And it came Daryl's chance. And he stood up and said, don't apply to independent faith missions. Because if God calls you and places you, he knows what's coming. He and Louise and their children had gone through a couple different situations in which nobody, including myself, would have faulted them for coming home. But they stayed. Now, that's what they believe God would do for them. Now, if a missionary doesn't believe that, then he ought to get out. Okay? And I'm not saying that in a negative sense. Just if he doesn't believe that, then he should evacuate. But Daryl believed, this is where God sent me, and I need to show the people that I've been talking to about the power of God that he can take care of us. And so they stayed. They weathered it. And his life and the stories he had to tell were the kind that you sit mesmerized listening to, because it's things that you just don't ordinarily hear. One of his great testimonies, and I'm going to get back to my message, okay? One of his great testimonies was when he was challenged by a witch doctor to walk on hot, red hot coal. Now you can read, you can Google and find out about that being done. There's many, many religions around the world that's one of their signs of the power of their God. But they have their rituals they go through in order to do that. And Daryl was challenged to do it. Is your God great enough? Is your God strong enough? And again, if you know the story, as you're listening, if you've heard it, please, I'm trusting a faulty memory, but I'm giving you the core truth of it. He accepted their challenge. He prayed to our God, and he said, I must show them that your power is greater. Now, he didn't go through what the witch doctors went through. He didn't participate in what the witch doctors participated in. He did it by faith in his God. Took off his shoes, took off his socks, and with the determination of a man convinced in God's power, he proceeded to walk across the red hot coals. Got to the other end, and the natives picked him up, examined his feet, and proclaimed his God as great as the gods of the tribe. Friends, some of the stories of some of the missionaries of past generations, and we'll hear some of those stories from missionaries of our day, okay? But you usually hear them later and down the road, okay? So I'm not saying we'll never hear any more of these kind of stories. I'm just saying we've heard them from those from the past. Well, in the Suriname tribes, when they were at one of our missions conference, as he was preaching, he pointed out that over the door going into their huts, they would have a board. And on that board, there would be marks carved in them, hash marks. I don't know if they did four and then a fifth, you know. But there were hash marks that were on that. And the more hash marks, the greater the pride of that man's wife. Okay? Hash marks were there for every woman in the tribe that he had conquered sexually. Did you hear what I said, though? The wife's pride was greater the more hash marks. The wife wanted a board with many hash marks showing how strong and great her husband was to conquer the women of this tribe. Now, I say that as an illustration. Do the best you can, and God will let you into heaven. By whose standard of good? In the Suriname tribe of which I'm speaking, the standard of good would have been what I just described. Now, something doesn't sit right with you, does it? How can that be considered good? Well, it's not good, because it's against all that the Bible teaches us. We need to live by what God tells us. And we get into heaven not by how good we are, but how good Jesus was. We get into heaven by our faith in Jesus Christ. But you see, when man turns away from truth, he'll turn to fables. Then another fable, there is no God. All right? God is a God of love. He wouldn't send anybody to hell. Do the best you can. You'll get to heaven knowing how good you are. Of both fables. Now there's no God. Psalm 14. In Psalm 14 and verse 1, the psalmist David, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. It's a fable that fools believe. There is no God, so just live the way you want to live. Okay? be an atheist or be an agnostic. Okay, well, what's the difference between an atheist and an agnostic? An atheist declares there is no God. An agnostic says, I'm not sure. There might be and there might not be. He ends up the same place without God. It's just a little more polite way of getting there. the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's another fable. And then the last one, the fourth one. Many paths lead to heaven. They're just different ways of getting there. You know, the Hindu gets there his way. The Jew gets there their way. Well, the Muslim gets to heaven his way. No, there isn't many ways to heaven. There's only one way. You say, well, that's your opinion. No, that's God's declaration. Well, that's your book, but what about the Muslim who has the Quran? We don't have time to get into that, okay? Why the Bible supersedes every other religious document that exists. And believe me, I would not have the intelligence to stand here and teach to you that truth. I can read the books of some others, glean some things out of it, and reshare it with you. But my, to sit and listen to the men of God whom God has given that kind of ability to show the superiority of the Bible over these other religious books. It's like sitting and listening to some of the men, Christian men, who can debate the matter of evolution or creation, and how they are able to take the truths of Scripture and even the facts of science, not the theories of science, the facts of science, and use them to refute this matter of evolution. All right? And so God has given to the body of Christ such men who are able to take. Just like when it comes to the subject of Bible versions. Do any of you know somebody that is capable, that God has gifted with the ability of refuting modern translations? Anybody know anybody like that? Somebody ought to soon be saying his name. It's our pastor. God has given him that skill. God has given him that ability. Now he doesn't know what to do, you see. He's pleased that God has done this for him, but what do you do when somebody's saying something really nice about you? How do you sit there? You know, you don't want to smile. You know, and I know what it's like. And it's rough. But it's true. God has given to the body of Christ various skilled individuals who can take up specialized subjects and explain them and deal with them from a scriptural basis. And we have another such individual, and I'm not going to go through trying to make you guess who it is, but Brother Dale. Now, we've known about jail ministries. I've known about jail ministries for all of my ministry, all of my life in ministry. I went into jail on a Tuesday night, and I heard the doors lock behind me, you know. And I remember walking through, we called it the bullpen, where all the guys sat. And I remember the comments, you know, that you'd hear, oh, there's the reverend. Oh, Goody Two-Shoes is here tonight, you know. And I thought to myself, that's okay, bud, I'm leaving here when the night's over. You're going to be staying. And when they took me up to that room, and it was a big old castle-like jail, and they put me in a room where a half dozen men were going to come in later who seriously wanted to study. They put me in that room, and until they brought the men back, they locked the door. Okay? And then when they brought the men in, they left the men in. And I don't remember then if they locked the door with the men in there and me or what. All I know is there we sat. And I remember the one fella. I forget it. For years I remembered his name, but I do not recall it now. And he challenged me, first of all, with the fact that he was black. And he brought all of his black ethnicity to counteract Christianity. Now, when he was done with that, after about 2 weeks of that, then he'd bring up for about 2 weeks, he brought up being a Muslim. Okay? And he brought up everything from that to counteract. Then when he was done with the Muslim, I forget what he did next. There was a third thing, and he brought that up. And finally, I looked at him and I said, Henry, that wasn't his name, but I said, Henry, now you've told me every reason why you shouldn't believe, and I've told you every reason why you should believe. I'm going to give you one more. When this meeting's over in 30 minutes, guard's going to come. He's going to let us out. Where are you going? Well, I'm going back to my cell. And I said, where am I going? He said, well, you're going home. Whose way is working better? You stopped and looked. speaking his name. I said, think about that. My way of the Bible can get you out of here and keep you out.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And our brother Dale is another specialty area. Okay? And the specialty ministry that God has taken one of his men to work and deal with prisoners and people who've been in prison. And so God put this into the body of Christ. So don't think that you have to somehow be a specialist in every area. No, and especially today, good night. You know, you used to have to go to a bookstore and order a book on most of this and spend $10, $15 on a book. Now you can go online and get information. You got to be careful about some of the websites you look at. Okay, you wouldn't go in there and order a Jehovah's Witness book, but you know, when you go online, you might end up at a place where that's what they're. So you got to have some smarts in your head and some common sense. And leaves them, well, they have some stuff that's true, yeah, but you don't need the error mixed in it. You can find a website that is all truth. All right, there you go. Now that's all free. We didn't take up an offering tonight. And so you got all that extra free. And so many paths lead to heaven, just different ways to get there. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said.
Amen. Amen.
That's what Jesus said. So many people say, well, I believe what Jesus said. No, they believe what they want to believe of what Jesus said.
That's right.
You know, if what he said in one thing is true, you can count on it. It's true in the other things he said. And then Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, first Bible verse I ever memorized after I rededicated my life. I remember sitting in my, we were in a trailer. It was 10 by 55. That was big in its day. And I was sitting in my son's bedroom, he laying in the bed there, and I was sitting on a chair, had my feet up against, you shouldn't do this, up against the wall, okay? But hey, it's my trailer. I was a man there. I could do this if I wanted. So I was sitting there, and I had my Bible open, and I was memorizing, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Okay? And I remember going over that and having to go over it, and then I'd look, oh, I messed it up. And I go over it again, and then go over it again, and oh, got another word out of one. Finally, I got it down. But the whole point of it, there isn't any other salvation. Jesus said there's only one way to heaven. And Peter proclaimed, neither is there salvation in any other. It's only in Jesus Christ. People have fables, but they don't get them to heaven. Remember that. Everything that we have that matters comes from this book and this book alone. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your love and grace and goodness to us. We appreciate, Father, your word. Thank you that you grant us the Holy Spirit to teach us this truth. Help us to assimilate it into our lives and apply it daily. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.